to get in for me. Morning, everybody. Morning to the department. Morning to all the members. Morning to our officials. And I think we all understand we're having the last meeting now for this quarter, which has been hectic with elections as well. We're a bit tired, but we will just proceed with this with this last meeting. Llewellyn, can I check the? Can you do the roll call?
Thank you, Chairperson. It's yourself, Honourable Binko Didaba, Honourable Aduans is present, Honourable Moratsetla, Honourable Letsihe, Honourable Nodada, Honourable Van der Walt, Honourable Dr. Tembekwayo, Honourable Noble. I have two apologies. That is for Honourable Mashabela, who is not very well. She's on leave. And then Honourable Sukers, who is currently on public hearings in the Western Cape Chair. And then from the department, I have received an apology from the Minister, who has another commitment this morning. I am also aware that DG is with us this morning, but he may have to leave at around 10 for a NAB joint meeting. He'll be in and out of the meeting, Chairperson. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Evelyn. Members on the agenda, we are having the first and second quarterly report presentations by the department, and then we will consider and adopt the BRRR report and also the minutes of the 30th November. Can I get adoption for the agenda? Honourable Platon.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to all honourable members, the department, and the leadership in the meeting. Chair, I move to adopt the agenda as it is.
Thank you very much. Any seconder? Honourable Lithia.
Thank you very much. Good morning, honourable members, the Chair, everybody else. I move for it. I second.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lithia. Can I check the DM?
I am in the meeting, Chair.
Let me hand over to you, Ma.
Is Minister not in the meeting?
Minister. I think Llewellyn was saying she has tendered an apology.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Llewellyn, am I right?
That's correct, Chairperson. I have received an apology from Minister, who has to be at a DIA committee.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah, okay.
Fine, yeah. Thank you so much, Chairperson, and greetings to members of the Portfolio Committee, which I believe is the last Portfolio Committee meeting of the year 2021. I want to take this opportunity to thank you, Chair, for inviting us to come and present to you today. I believe DG is in the meeting. Let me not waste much time, but just to tell members that the examination has run. Yes, there were glitches, but they were very minor glitches, because always where there are human beings, there will be glitches, which are managed by the department and our provinces. But generally, the exam ran smoothly, and some of the provinces have started marking, but some have not, because some of the markers are also managing the internal examinations. So but the centers are ready, as we came to present to the portfolio committee, that centers are ready, SBAs, everything done, and we believe that everything will go smooth, and the minister will announce the results on the 20th of January. And members are invited if they will be available at that time when the minister announces the results. But let me take this opportunity and give to the Director General and the team to take us through the presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues from both the Department of Basic Education and the Portfolio Committee team. Chair, as indicated by the Secretary of the Committee, I have to attend a net joint, an emergency meeting of net joint, to inform or to advise the NCCC on what the President will have to review in terms of a week after the announcement. So thank you very much, Chair, for allowing me to do that. If you allow, Deputy Minister and the Chair, Mr. Kuno will lead the DVE administration team, while the entire team is led by our Deputy Minister, as always. We present in quarter one and quarter two of the 2021-2022 financial year, in doing a brief comparison of this year and the year that was, at this time, the committee will appreciate, for some reason or another, whether it's a miracle or I don't know, or whether during crisis we tend to heighten our strategic capability and tend to perform better than when things are normal. We've also brought in 2019-2020, which was our last so-called normal year outside the COVID-19 environment, and we're comparing our performance with that. There are important events which are captured in the highlights. We're also reflecting on the performance of the five programs in terms of the performance information and financial information. Part A will be dealt with by strategic planning by Sisnozi Po, or the Chief Director, Mrs. Carol Nuka Deliwe. The Part B, which is the financial part of our presentation, Chair, will be done by the Chief Financial Officer and the branch head of the administration branch, Mr. Kuno. I am then going to request them to begin in earnest with the presentation. Deputy Minister, one of the main reasons why I thought that I could not just go to net joints without coming here, unless if there's somebody appointed who's acting in my position. This is statutory reporting that requires the accounting officer to be present, and therefore I had to come and report to the chair and request the chair to allow me to be in and out of the meetings. We have to go and request the NCCC to allow marking to happen. As we know, marking can also lend themselves to become super spreaders, marking venues, and also allow schools to reopen next year. So those are some of the inputs that I need to make at the end, at the and our joints, which will be forwarding the advice to the NCCC. Deputy Minister and the Chair, if you allow me, to allow strategic planning to start the presentation. Thank you.
Yes, please.
Good morning, honorable members, morning chair and
Deputy Minister, DG, and all senior management of the department. As indicated, I will be taking you through the first and second quarter reports of the department for 2021-22. So presentation outline, also as highlighted by the DG, is divided in two parts. Part A being the performance indicators and targets, and Part B, financial report, which will be presented by the Chief Financial Officer. So the purpose of this presentation is to report on the first and second quarter outputs against the planned targets of the predetermined objectives in the annual performance plan for 2021-22, and also to report on the department's expenditure also for the two quarters. In terms of the major highlights, the minister was joined by the MEC for Education in Gauteng to the launch of education sector vaccination roll in Tembisa, which was countrywide on 23 June 2021. And this has significantly contributed towards reaching the herd immunity, as the education sector is vaccinated in large numbers. And also the minister addressed the nation with regards to the sector's position in the face of increasing COVID-19 infections. And that was on the 19th of June, 2021. Minister of Basic Education, joined by the Deputy Minister, also of Basic Education, and they had a virtual dialogue which reflected on the impact made by the youth of 1976 in South Africa. And the dialogue took place at the DBE on the 15th of June, 2021. So this June 16 has been celebrated as the National Day, Youth Day, and as June is the Youth Month also. And this marks, 2021 marks the 45th anniversary of this historic event, which is popularly known as Soweto Uprising in 1976. And we, as we all know, it left scores of young people dead. As we move on with the highlights, also the Deputy Minister of the Basic Education, as well as the Deputy Minister of Social Development, they visited the Masakane Educare in Kuruman, Northern Cape. And the two deputy ministers delivered the personal protective equipment, that is PPE, and COVID essentials to Masakane Educare. And this was a way of demonstrating the commitment that education is actually a societal issue. And the first round of the HPV, which is the human papillomavirus and tetanus, diphtheria vaccination, has begun, and the campaign included the HPV vaccination of grades 4, 5, and 6 learners. And this campaign reached 363,161, which is 79.5% of the learners from 15,472 primary schools. The 2021 May-June exams for grade 12 were also written across the 9 PEDs, where the measures to combat COVID-19 resurgence were also strengthened. The exam was in May and until 7th July. But because the exam has been written already and the results also were issued, we will also get to know in terms of the numbers in the indicator slides. The minister also visited the estate vaccination site in Midrand on 7 July, also just to monitor a vaccination drive in the education sector. The Director General, Mr. Moedi, also visited the 71 autumn classes in Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest, Western Cape, and also 97 winter camps in the provinces, just to motivate the class of 2021. The DG has also visited 669 safe projects in Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and KwaZulu-Natal, to assess progress that has been made in the eradication of the pit latrines. And WASA Metrics campaign continues to offer support to grade 12 learners in 10 subjects. This is aired, is a free to air television initiative, and it was launched by Minister of Basic Education on 25 August, following the academic disruptions which were caused by the COVID-19. Minister has also virtually launched the Early Childhood Development Census on the 26th of August. This census is aimed at collecting the data on all ECD programs and to have a better understanding of the sector's landscape. And so that also, as the department is taking over the function from the Department of Social Development, there is actually a database to work on. The Read to Lead campaign continues to reach out to as many South Africans as possible to promote a culture of reading. So Free State DBE, okay, in collaboration with Free State Education, organized a session, interactive session with learners and parents at Wangaratu Secondary School on the 31st of August. As also DG has already indicated, that the programs in the department are structured, or the activities are structured into 5 programs, rather, program 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. DG also has touched on this one. We normally compare the 2 financial years, but we also went to compare to look at 2019-20, which was a normal year. And honorable members, maybe you might not have this slide in your presentations, and apologies for that. 2019-20, during the first quarter, the achievement was at 82%, and quarter 2, 83%. When we now more compare quarter 1 for 2020-21 and 2021-22 financial years, for 2020-21, the achievement was 55%, which is also as a result of the COVID-19 disruptions. 2021-22 performance is at 80%. When it comes to quarter 2021-22, quarter 2 performance, for 2021, we achieved 90%. And for 2021-22, we achieved 82% with 2 indicators that were not achieved. We'll come to the explanation of the 2 indicators shortly after going through the pie charts. These are still saying reflecting the same performance that I've already presented. So I would like to explain in terms of the underachievement of the 2 indicators, 3.1.4 and 3.1.5, on teachers age 30 and below. And I will get to the exact indicators. But to explain in terms of the underachievement, there were preliminary reports for the 2 indicators. However, due to some of our processes, data depending on other entities, IT systems like the National Treasury, the department did not receive the data at the agreed or at the standard date, which is the 15th after end of quarter. Instead, the data was only available on the 26th of October, which was also late for reporting for the second quarter, because the reports are sent to the oversight structures on the 30 days after end of quarter. So the issue was Northwest system had challenges, so that affected the data that is provided by National Treasury. However, the systems have since been normalized. In the coming quarters, we are looking forward to achieving the 2 indicators. Okay, starting with program 1, which is administration. When we look at, I won't go indicator by indicator, but where there are issues, I will highlight those. So indicator 1.1 on 30 days, on valid invoices paid within 30 days upon receipt by the department. For quarter one, we partially achieved, and for quarter two, we have achieved. For 112, also for quarter one, we partially achieved, but quarter two, we fully achieved. 113, both indicators, indicator achieved in both quarters. 1.2.1 is an annual indicator. Both quarter one and quarter two, we have reported milestones, with Q1 being the template being prepared, and quarter two, development of the 2022-23 ATP, then it's when it started. Indicator 1.2.2 on the number of quarterly performance reports that are submitted to Treasury and DPME. These two quarters have been achieved, Q1 and Q2. I will also try to summarize when it comes to the bullets under the program. Under staffing services, we can report that 14 appointments were made, and the key appointments for the Chief Director, Foundation for Learning and Care and Support in Schools, as well as the Director, Enhancement Programs and Evaluation of School Performance, which is LTSM. Mm-hmm. On training and social responsibility, the Workplace Skills Plan 2021-22 and Annual Training Report were submitted to the ETDP CETA and the PCETA on 30 April 2021. Because our report is covering two quarters, quarter one and quarter two, so we'll see maybe a big difference between the dates. The HRD annual implementation plan and HRD monitoring reports were submitted to the Department of Learning, of Public Service and Administration on 28 April. 24 officials attended internal induction course in May. 143 employees attended skills development training, and 12 programs were conducted between March and September 2021. The department has 25 interns and 59 bursary holders. In terms of labor relations, 6 grievances were reported. So 2 declined, 2 relate to the unfair treatment, and 1 relates to salary adjustment, 1 to supervisory duties to subordinates, and 1 grievance has been finalized while 5 are still under investigation. 1 formal disciplinary conduct hearing was held. I can move to the next slide. In terms of legal services, the following court cases were highlighted. And also, maybe for the sake of progress, I will not go through them one by one. Legislative services continues in terms of the Basic Education Laws Amendment, which is the Bella Bill. It's important to note or to report that both offices, Office of the Chief State Law Advisor and Presidency, have actually issued a certification and sign off reports, respectively. And in terms of the admission policy, which is bullet 3, over 6,000 comments have been received from major stakeholders in the sector and the public. And there are other policies, notices, circulars, and legal opinion which were received, such as the published directors for primary school learners, the early childhood development proclamations, very important, have been published. As we know, we by beginning of the new financial year, the department will actually take over the function. Promotion of Access to Information Act, the PIA manual, and the Protection of Personal Information COPIA guidelines have been approved for publication. In terms of financial management services, department has submitted the medium-term budget to National Treasury on 12 August. The shifting of funds has been implemented and captured also on basic accounting system, which is BAS, within quarter two to ensure that the interim financial statements are accurate. In terms of the conditional grants, also the disbursements and reporting, all PEDs have submitted their monthly expenditure reports, which were consolidated and submitted to National Treasury. And the last bullet, the interim financial statements were compiled and submitted to National Treasury and Auditor General South Africa on 31 July, as required by the Public Finance Management Act. In terms of security and assets management, it's also a critical time for this unit as they conduct a daily health screening and reporting at 4 points in the department, and finalized and closed the travel flare account successfully, which was the previous travel agent. And monthly steering committee meetings were held to deal with the administration of the public-private partnership. All unitary invoices and utilities were received and paid, and there were no penalties. Supply chain, I will touch to the four tenders in the third bullet that were advertised. One has closed and BEC recommendation was presented to the bid adjudication committee on 29 September 2021. Government information technology services, which is the information technology within the department, also funds were approved to upgrade the current network infrastructure. This is to ensure the smooth running of the department. So the tender was approved on the bid specification committee. And the donor grant management, department has submitted the annual performance evaluation report, the draft 2022 division of revenue bill, and first quarter reports, conditional grants to National Treasury on 31st July 2021. And the monitoring was also conducted to provide support on the conditional grants program in Free State, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, and Northwest. Quality Learning and Teaching Campaign, QLTC. QLTC works very closely on the ground, also with the communities, with the schools, with the districts. The QLTC established the foundation for the promotion of various skills programs and improvement of infrastructure in schools. So this was an EFRESH Buhle Farm Academy, Ngangezwe Foundation, and National Education Trust. There were also provincial QLTC launches and pledges, which I won't go into detail, and also the establishment of the QLTC in, functional structures in Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape, and there were also inter-directorate collaborations. In terms of strategic planning and reporting, this is the most about the institutional reporting. In terms of the first quarter performance report, we submit to DPME and National Treasury as the oversight structures. This was successfully done. And also the annual report was submitted also to National Treasury. And it was the 2020-21 annual report was tabled in Parliament on 29 September. So the department also works closely with the public entities in terms of analyzing their quarterly reports. We have done that successfully for the two quarters. We hold also branch quarterly reviews to review performance, and also priority six, medium-term strategic framework, which is our minister's performance contract. It was also developed and submitted accordingly. The draft APP has been submitted also to DPME and National Treasury and is being finalized. Also in terms of research, coordination, monitoring and evaluation, the second early grade reading studies, the anthologies were delivered to schools, and the technical task team has been established, and the theme analysis of public comments have been done on the Second Children's Amendment Bill. And the work of the HEDCOM subcommittee on planning, monitoring and evaluation, which is a forum to discuss the sector priorities and also to guide provincial education departments in terms of the sector priorities. So it was held on the 2nd of June, 2021, after which there was a working group to develop the 2022-23 standardized indicators. I'll pick on the general household survey. The focus on schooling report was compiled and quality assured. Project management unit has worked in collaboration with NECT and National Treasury to finalize the 3-stream model business plan and submitted it to National Treasury. And systemic improvement, literacy and numeracy in the foundation phase. A meeting between DBE and National Treasury also to discuss the revised business plan, budget and the grant chart for consideration and approval. Government Information Technology Services, which is GITO, I touched in terms of the funds that were transferred, but they also have service level, the department has service level contracts or agreements, rather, which were revised and signed off by both DBE and CETA as they manage the infrastructure in the department. In terms of the coordination of meetings for the different structures, 35 meetings were scheduled, 18 meetings were convened. Over and above the 18, there were 25 unscheduled meetings which were convened, and 11 meetings were not convened out of the scheduled ones. So I will go also into much detail. But over and above the meetings that were convened previously, there were other virtual meetings which add up to a total of 13. Partnerships also play a critical role in negotiating sponsorships, getting funds for the department to support various programs. We can see here the Tiger Brands and the other sponsors or partners which have been mentioned, but the last one being the Tiger Brands, also, and the letters of acknowledgement were based on their progress and reporting. So this is the number of pledges, it's 14 partners, it's 8 partners which are implementing, 113 schools benefited, and the amount also in monetary value. In terms of parliamentary and business processes, 76 parliamentary questions were received, and 58 were from National Assembly, and 18 from National Council of Provinces. So the meetings were virtual, 14 meetings due to COVID-19, and all the subjects or the topics listed here were covered. Intergovernmental technical support, which also ensures that those key meetings happen between DG and the various structures. They've coordinated meetings with implementing agents to track progress on infrastructure. And that is critical to ensure that infrastructure is delivered as per plan. And also meetings with PEDs in terms of basic education employment initiative, which is also providing youth with employment in schools. Also meetings with provincial education departments on school readiness to ensure that when the year starts, the schools are ready to hit the road running. Also meetings on SONA commitments, whereby different units provide progress on SONA commitments. Meetings on focus schools, we know those high-tech, the marine schools, the aviation in terms of progress. Also with direct now with CEOs of the implementing agents, also to monitor and to discuss challenges in terms of delivery. DG's reflections on engagements, and there was, and there's a report that has been compiled in that regard. And the unit also coordinated the monitoring visits of 97 winter camps in all the PEDs. Internal and external stakeholder liaison also ensures the also the critical meetings that do happen. The meeting, for instance, with SATU in April to discuss possible vaccination of educators and also the return of all primary school learners. So it's a high-level meeting that takes place, as well as the feedback on the presidential employment initiative. And there's also a, quite a number of other meetings, but I think I will move to the next slide. International relations and also multilateral affairs, they also ensure that those agreements, memorandum of understanding also between South Africa and the different countries are approved, are signed. Also the stakeholders also get to meet with the ministry and all that. I will just maybe pick on one, the last one, they facilitated a request to support national teaching awards from Chinese embassy and also with the contributions or the donations indicated. Program two, which is a call for the department because it's curriculum, policy, support, and monitoring. In program two, there is one quarterly indicator and one biannual, which are the first and the second 2.1.1, which talks to technical number of technical schools monitored on CAPS. So both quota one and quota two were achieved. And 2.1.2 talks to learners per year obtaining subject passes towards a national senior certificate or extended senior certificate. Quota one, we reported the milestone in terms of the support that is provided to second chance learners. Quota two, because since it's, there's a target of 20,000 and the exams have been written, the department has achieved 29,177, which is an overachievement. So this also assists in terms of the support that is provided to these learners. 2.1.3 on the number of learners with number of children or learners with profound intellectual disability using the learning program. It's an annual target. We have reported a milestone in terms of what is it that we are doing as a department working with the care centers, also with the transversal itinerant outreach team members, also to look at the outputs of the grant, what is it that they need to do. So the milestone is talking to that. Then at the end of the financial year, we will have the actual number of learners who are using the program. Excuse me. Let's repeat. Sorry. 2.1.4 is also another annual indicator on the CS policy. We've also reported the milestones, which is also in numbers, like teachers trained, officials trained, learners identified and assessed. All this information will then be consolidated into an annual sector report by end of the financial year. 2.1.5 and 2.1.6 are ECD indicators. The first one that talks to legislation, and the second one talks to a new funding model. It's important to note that in quarter one, proclamations were signed by both ministers of DBE and social development. And in the second quarter, another key milestone is that the president and premiers have signed the national and provincial proclamations respectively, which is making us ready to take the for the function shift rather. So point 1.6 milestone also is talking to the public expenditure and institutional review steering committee, which met and confirmed the scope of work for the consultants in terms of the funding. 2.1.7 and 2.1.8 are also ECD indicators that are annual, that have annual targets. We have reported milestones. Quarter 1.2.1.7, work plan finalized, and as well as instruments. And quarter 2, also ECD census that was launched, I also touched on the ECD census. Under the highlights, 2.1.8 also milestones for quarter one and for quarter two on the ECD service delivery model and its workforce. 2.1.9 and 2.1.10 also annual targets, but for Q1 we have milestones. Then in quarter two we start to see the figures on the number of districts that were monitored for NCS. For Q2, it's 4 districts. For 2.1.10, also Q1 or quarter one is a milestone, but we can see a number, which means all the provinces have been monitored for extra support classes because there are 9 provinces. 2.1.11 is talking to schools monitored for implementing compulsory entrepreneurship education. We have also reported milestones since this is an annual target for both quarter one and quarter two. Then we will have a number reported by quarter three. 2.1.12, an annual sector report on general education certificate. This is also an annual target. We have, however, reported in quarter one that the 42 schools which have been identified for the pilot, and then we've reported also the sector workshop report that has been produced in quarter two. 2.1.30, annual sector reports produced on schools that are respectively that prepared to respectively implement and pilot technical occupational stream. And we know how key also the technical occupational stream also being a medium-term strategic framework. We have reported milestones for both quarter one and quarter two in terms of the policy, the comments on the policy for GEC, and also the feedback from Umalusi on the civil technology subjects for Q1. And for Q2, it's the LTSM learning and teaching support material, and also a report on the state of readiness audit for grade 8 pilots in ordinary schools. 2.1.14, schools monitored for piloting the coding and robotics curriculum. We have reported milestones for quarter one and quarter two, and quarter three we're looking forward to presenting in numbers how many schools have been monitored. 2.1 and 2.2.2, in the 2.2.1 rather, and 2.2.2 indicators are also monitoring schools, firstly on reading norms, and secondly on the incremental introduction to African languages. For the quarter one, we've reported milestones, and in quarter two, it's when we have the numbers. Quarter two, 3 schools were monitored on the implementation of reading norms. Quarter two, 5 schools were monitored on the implementation of IOL, which is incremental introduction of African languages. 2.2.3 and 2.2.4, also monitoring schools. 2.2.3 on early grade reading assessment. Q1 is a milestone, but quarter two, 10 schools were monitored. 2 to 4, as much as is annual, also quarter one is a milestone, but quarter two we can see a performance in terms of 19 schools that have been monitored on multi-grade, with multi-grade classes. 2 to 5, annual sector reports produced on the implementation of the national reading plan. Annual targets, we have reported a milestone for both quarter one and quarter two. Then end of the financial year, we will see an annual sector report. 2 to 6, another annual sector report on schools monitored on the availability of readers. We have reported milestones and we'll also get a report by end of financial year. 2.3.1, monitoring schools, the province for utilization of ICT resources. We have reported milestones for quarter one and quarter two, and quarter three we should see the actual number of schools that have been monitored on ICT resources. 232 and 233, these are indicators on public schools provided with workbooks. The first one with home language workbooks, and the second one with mathematics workbooks. We have also reported milestones for the two quarters. The first one talking to the signed print proof and artwork, and the printing started. In the quarter two, the printing has for volume one has been completed, and sign off for volume two has also been completed. The delivery, we cannot at this stage talk about it, it's because it only started in quarter three. So we will get an indication once the workbooks have been delivered. 2.3.4 is also workbooks provided, schools provided with workbooks for learners in grade R per year. We've reported milestones, both quarter one and the quarter two. Quarter two, the printing of grade R workbooks has been completed, so which means the delivery is in progress. 2.3.5, the department is also monitoring the learners provided with maths and English first additional language, EFAL textbooks in grade 3, 6, 9, and 12. This is also an annual target. We have reported milestones, but then in the financial year, the department will produce a report based on each province in terms of the provision of these textbooks. 2.3.6, number of schools monitored for home languages, in which grades one, in which literacy grades 1 to 3 lesson plans have been developed for terms 1 to 4. We have also reported milestones here and indicated that in Q2, no schools were monitored. However, the monitoring has commenced. There is a number of about 5 to 6 schools that have been monitored already, but that will only reflect in quarter three. It is underway as we speak. 2.3.7, number of schools with access to electronic devices. This is also an annual target, and we have reported milestones for both quarter one and quarter two. And because we work with the partners here, so it's ICASA and the telecommunications companies, so we actually held a meeting with this telecoms to establish also their plans for completion of the rollout of the ICT platforms and assistive devices. 2.3.8, a report on the monitoring of procurement and distribution of ICT devices. We have reported milestones, then we will produce an annual sector report which is indicating the status of the procurement and distribution of ICT devices in all PNEDs. 2.4.1, an annual sector report on the number of teachers trained on inclusion, another annual sector report. We have reported the milestones, and for Q2, there was an interprovincial monitoring and where the PEDs also presented on progress on the implementation of the indicators. So that information will then be consolidated into a sector report. 2.4.2, And then 2.4.3 are also annual sector reports, also on inclusion. The quarter one and quarter two, we have reported the milestone because in the same meeting, the three indicators are discussed. So the milestones are the same for 2.4.1, 2.4.2, and 2.4.3. 2.4.4 report is produced on the establishment of focus schools per PED. We have also reported milestones as the report is being consolidated. It will then be finalized for the end of the financial year in terms of which focus schools in which provinces have been established. I will also try to summarize in some of the slides, but as we know, ECD is key. In terms of the ECD function shift, the National Macro Organization of Government, NMOG, has been finalized and signed by the Ministers of Social Development, Basic Education, and Public Service Admin. The DBE and Social Development also provided progress updates to the Technical Committee for Finance on 27 August. ECD funding model, I've touched on this one under the indicator tables in terms of the funding model. The census also, I have touched on the census, which was launched by the minister even under the highlights on 26 August. There was an ECD interprovincial meeting also on the 13th of July to get an update on the function shift and also to get the sense of progress in terms of the implementation of the national curriculum framework, the training of ECD practitioners, and strengthening collaboration from the provinces. Under the math, science, and technology, e-learning research, three streams model, I've touched on that under the tables. However, 105 schools across all the provinces have been identified for piloting of vocationally oriented subjects in GET phase. And GEC policy framework has been provisionally approved. And six schools were monitored for CAPS, which are already covered also under the indicator tables. Monitoring of coverage, of curriculum coverage, last but one bullet, took place in Eastern Cape, Gauteng, and KZN for civil technology specializations and engineering graphics and design. So as we continue with the MST e-learning and research, the aviation curriculum multidisciplinary and provides for all three curriculum streams with subjects aligned to specific types of work. It's the academic, which is, for example, pilots, flight engineers, MST subjects, and it's the technical vocational. Examples are avionics and other technicians, technical subjects, and technical occupational, which is flight attendants and other public interface jobs. DBE also had a bilateral with the Department of Transport, where they requested guidance with respect to terms of reference for the development of practical for introduction at high schools. A draft academic curriculum and a framework for the other two streams was provided to Department of Transport on 28 April. Advocacy for marine sciences via the DBE and Cape Town Aquarium has resulted in an increase in the enrollment since the pilot of this subject began in 2019 with a small group of 10 learners. And the COVID-19 pandemic reduced the number to 13, but the first grade 12 cohort of these 13 have actually written, and that's what I can say because the exams have just ended, written the national senior certificate. Eight schools practicing multi-grade teaching received ICT devices loaded with digital content for teaching and learning as part of the DBE Telcom collaboration. 214 special schools received school-based solutions consisting of assistive devices, ICT equipment, and connectivity through the Universal Service Access Obligation, which is the USO initiative. Five virtual classrooms, MTN provided 5 and Vodacom 6, which they presented to the department. Department of Communication, Digital Communication and Digital Technologies, DBE and MTN visited schools in Eastern Cape and Northwest to conduct an audit. And the RAIN has also installed a solution to schools with ICT devices and connectivity. Coding and robotics, as much as I've touched on it under the indicators, public comments were received on the draft curriculum, and CAPS for grades R to 9 have been categorized and analyzed, waiting formal appraisal by UMALUS. There were advocacy and awareness roadshows also for coding and robotics, and then the monitoring was also conducted on the state of readiness for implementation of the pilot in grades R to 3 and 7 in 9 PEDs. Also, the provincial training team, PTT, orientated 1,831 teachers and 7,238 subject advisors. Rural education, the EdLution, which is a catch-up program to improve numerate performance in poorer rural schools. So learners are provided with tablets which are preloaded with lessons for learners involved in the project. Enhancement programs and evaluation of school performance have already covered the milestones for the workbooks under the indicators. Reading, the Reading Champions program was extended for further 30 days, which was until end of April in all PEDs. The National Reading Coalition, also monitoring, it was supported, and the monitoring of impact continued with monitoring instruments received from the 6,684 Reading Champions. Workbooks also has indicated that the printing has commenced. The delivery has commenced. Sorry, my slides are not moving now. Primary School Reading Improvement Plan, which is the PSRIP. A total of 1,711 teachers in the foundation phase have been trained. Total of 1,363 intermediate phase teachers incapacitated, and with regards to implementation, a total of 32 have been trained in this regard. Curriculum implementation and quality improvement, which is the GET, and business proposal on phase 2 and framework for the strengthening of the training manuals for education assistance, which is in the Presidential Youth Initiative, as implemented in the business in the DBE, were developed and finalized. Also, the training manuals and mediation presentations were also developed. This is also relates to the bullet that I've just presented. So in order to support EFAL learners, teachers, schools, and 4 radio stations with either a 15 or 30 minute slot on a weekly basis have been secured. And on the slide, I think I can pick on the third bullet on E-cubed teacher contact progress, which is used for communication and advocacy, including promoting the National Teaching Awards, which was July to September 2021, the quality monitoring system, QMS teams, vaccine seminar, as well as the basic education employment initiative. And the growth has gone to just under 155,000 users and expansion into the following platforms like your SMS, email, zero-rated website, and so forth. And that was launched by the minister also in September. And also in, as part of the curriculum implementation and quality improvement, the department has focused on the following: development of revised history curriculum, grades 4 to 12, development of grade 12 study guides for 13 high enrollment subjects, curriculum implementation, monitoring of autumn classes, which I've also touched on, curriculum policy support, and a national subject committee meetings. 154 schools or centers or programs were monitored in all PEDs. This picture is showing the Director General as he monitored the camps. There was autumn, and there was also winter. And in the next following slide, we're looking at the inclusive education. From the second bullet, department participated in the roadshows, also for piloting Code West, Free State, and Western Cape. Also, LPID learners with profound intellectual disabilities, 181 officials, they were orientated on the 2021-22 annual teaching plan, term 4 implementation plan, lesson plan for term 3 and 4, term 4 learner assessment and recording tool, term 4 mark schedule template, and term 4 record card. But it's the milestones which are reported under the indicator slides, which have also gone through. And also the short videos have been developed on orientation and mobility for 23 schools for the blind and partially sighted learners. And these were made available in 5 languages: Zulu, English, Afrikaans, Xhosa, and Setswana. And the conditional grant on learners with severe to profound intellectual disability trained also grant managers and teams on the implementation of Term 2 lesson plan. Edulution, I've already touched on that. Intense program, I've already touched it under indicators. However, other means of support were through face-to-face classes, which were 107 face-to-face classes, more than 1,100 teachers and 107 center managers offered classes, 39,000 learners who attended. And youth was also hired to serve as screeners at the centers as well as cleaners, and all the COVID-19 protocols were followed. There's 239,024 learners who wrote, but we've already even issued the results, which I presented also under the indicator slides, the 29,177 learners who passed from all the support that is presented on the slide. And that brings us to the end of program two. Which deals with teachers, education, human resources, and institutional development. It's key because we can't have learners passing without also the teacher development. It's quite critical. For program three, other than the two indicators which I touched on, which were not achieved, all other indicators are annual. They have annual targets, 3.1.1, 3.1.2. We are reporting milestones for both quarter one and quarter two on the surveys that are conducted by the DBE and the PEDs. Then we get the results of the survey in terms of the percentages by end of the financial year. 3.1.3 is talking to number of funds additional bursaries awarded to students enrolled for initial teacher education per year. Quarter one and quarter two, we reported milestones. So quarter two, the as per quarter two report, 11,907 bursaries have been awarded to students. 3.1.4, it's one of the two indicators that I touched on in terms of underachievement. As indicated, there was an issue with data from National Treasury, which has since been resolved. The reports have been signed by 6 November. So this progress will then be reported under quarter three. 2.1.5, also the second indicator that had also data issues from the National Treasury. It has also been resolved and it will be reported in quarter three. 3.1.6 and 3.2.1 are also annual indicators. We have reported milestones for both quarter one and quarter two. Then end of the financial year, we will have reports which are consolidated that will have all the information. 3.2.2 is also a report. Also a report on the implementation of teacher development programs by PEDs with special focus on IFAL, maths, physical science, and accounting. So we also, this is also annual. We will have an approved annual, an approved national report by end of the financial year. However, the milestones are reported and the program is actually consolidating the reports that are received on a quarterly basis to build into the to the final reports by end of financial year. 3.2.3, PEDs that had their post-provisioning processes assessed for compliance with post provisioning norms and standards. This is also another annual target. Q1, we reported a milestone, but in Q2, we can see performance in terms of the number of PEDs that have submitted their reports. So 5, which means we have 4 more to go to achieve the target. 3.2.4, another annual sector report on the grade R practitioners with at least NQF level 6 or above qualification. We've reported milestones on both quarter one and quarter two. However, end of financial year, we will have a report, an annual sector report. 3.3.1, number of PEDs monitored on the implementation of the performance management service for school-based educators. We've reported a milestone in quarter one. In quarter two, we've reported 5 PEDs that have been monitored. 3.3.4, also annual, quarter one, we've reported milestone in terms of the reporting instruments, but quarter two, we've reported 6 PEDs that have been monitored on the performance, on the implementation of education management service, performance management, and development system. As we go into also the narrative part of the program, on this one, already touched on the first bullet on the post-provisioning norms. Second bullet, though I've also touched under the annual sector report, number of qualified educators aged 30 years and below, but I would like to report a total number of 2,738 educators who were appointed, of which 1,036 were permanent, 1,161 temporary, and 541 were substitute or relief appointments. In terms of Funza Lushaka graduates, the placement of Funza Lushaka graduates, 65% of the Funza Lushaka eligible graduates have been placed as at end of September. So we have the breakdown for the 65%. On this slide, first bullet is talking to the percentage of schools that had all their allocated educator posts filled. So it's 73%, which is 16,857 out of 23,243. And then there's also percentages per province. Educator performance management and development holds school evaluation. Principals signed work plan agreements with supervisors. So 78 work plans across PEDs show that further guidance is needed in formulating SMART targets and performance indicators. The last bullet, total of 70 provincial whole school evaluation officials were trained on school self-evaluation, which is SSE, and school improvement planning, and 105 whole school evaluation supervisors were trained on the implementation of IQMS. This slide has been covered under the indicator, also under indicator slides, indicator tables, rather, the 5 and the 6 PEDs that were monitored. This slide also has been covered on placement of Funza Lushaka graduates, which is 65%, and this is the breakdown. Slide also on schools where allocated posts were filled per province. For quarter two, it's 73%, and for quarter one, it's 65%, and it also shows the province. Okay, percentage of schools that had all the allocated filled by interval, filled by interval per province. So there's less than 50%, there's 50 to 74%, there's 75 to 99%, and those that have filled the post 100%. CPTD, we can highlight the nomination guide for the 21st National Teaching Awards, which was uploaded on the DBE website, and adjudication on provincial and national level was also concluded. And because the quarter two ended a while ago, even the National Teaching Awards were held. Initial teacher education, I've also covered that under the indicator slides in terms of the Funza Lushaka bursaries. Curriculum research, we can highlight the 241 teachers that administered the diagnostic assessments in mathematics and physical science to determine their content needs. And this will assist also to provide support in terms of the two subjects. 72 teacher centers were also monitored, and provincial quarterly reports were completed. And a pilot of the impact assessment tool for CPTD program has been completed through experts and validation in schools. Also on teacher development initiative, implementation. Coding and robotics orientation, which I already touched on under program two, that orientation, and grade nine maths and natural science teacher capacity program was conducted virtually through the video platform. So this also is showing the breakdown in terms of natural science technology, and mathematics, in terms of the capacity programs that were conducted, and a total of 123. And this slide is on the orientation of teachers on coding and robotics. We have 707 for grades R to three, and 1,648 for grade seven. So districts and teacher attendance also by province, by district, and subjects, and the total. In terms of education management and government development, an amended tool survey, I have covered the tools for the two indicators under the indicator tables because it's milestones, but the survey results will then be finalized and we report on the percentages end of the financial year. And also the unit which deals with the management and school governance supported the commencement of the 2022 admissions program in all provinces, and also information on how to deal with undocumented learners was mediated to all provinces. That brings us to the end of program three. And then program four, which deals with planning, information, and assessment. Also to indicate to members that program four only has annual targets. It does not have quarterly targets. We can look at the first three indicators, which are all on infrastructure. First one being number of new schools built and completed through ACIDI. As indicated, it's annual target, but quarter one, we reported 4 schools were completed. Quarter two, 3 schools were completed. 4.1.2 on sanitation. Quarter one, we reported 69 schools provided with sanitation facilities. In quarter two, 123. 4.1.3, schools provided with water facilities. Quarter one, 33, and quarter two, 31. I thought I should touch on this because it's one of those key indicators in terms of infrastructure provision. So these are the photos, pictures, also where DG goes into provinces to monitor the delivery in terms of the sanitation, in terms of the schools. So those are the pictures. 4.2.1 and 4.2.2 are also annual indicators. We have reported milestones for quarter one and for quarter two. So we will have also reports at the end of, 4.2.1, target of 500 in terms of the test items. We will then have an indication by end of the financial year in terms of those test items. 4.2.2, number of NSC reports produced. This is also based on the exams. As the exam has just been finished, with the marking finished, then the reports will be compiled based on that. Number of question papers for June and November exams. It's annual. I can report that we reported these milestones for both quarters. However, these exams have been, some of them have been written, except for the May, June 2022. So the November one has been written and the June one has been written. So we've been overtaken by the events. 4.2.4 and 4.2.5 are our administrative systems, to ensure that the data that is collected from school level is also, we can actually retrieve even at national level. So this is monitoring the schools that are using SASMs for reporting. We've reported milestones for both quarter one and quarter two, but for quarter two, 6 provinces reported that more than 98% of schools collected. The TEM2 and KZN and Gauteng are still in the process of collecting databases. For 4.2.5 on NURITS, we have also reported the milestones for both quarter one and quarter two. We will then have a national report by end of the financial year. 4.2.6 and 4.2.7, 4.2.6, both and annual also, we've reported a milestone, but there are key milestones in quarter two for 4.2.6. Progress report for SACMIC 5 study was completed. Progress report on PEL's 2021 study was completed. Report progress on TIMS diagnostic was also completed. 4.2.7 on early learning national assessment. For Q1, we reported that a monitoring report was completed, and for quarter two, a fieldwork report was developed. Indicators 4.3.1, 4.3.2, and 4.3.3 indicators that monitor performance in the district. So with 4.3.1, in fact, they are all Okay, 4.3.1 is annual, 4.3.2 biennial, which means there is no target set for this financial year. It's reported, monitored every 2 years. 4.3.3 is also annual. So 4.3.1, we reported milestone for Q1, and for Q2, we've reported 48 officials who have been that have been mentored. 4.3.3, also we've reported milestones in terms of those district directors who have undergone competency assessment prior to their appointment. The last three indicators also in the program are also falling under the district also branch. Monitoring underperforming schools at least twice a year. We've reported milestones for both quarter one and quarter two. Number of district director forums held. We had a district director forum in the first quarter, and we did not have one in the second quarter. 4.3.6, a number of districts in which teacher development has been conducted as per district improvement plans. We have also reported milestones. So in terms of program four, we'll be touching at the examinations, but I would also, with your permission, maybe skip some of the slides because the exams have already been written. These were processes which were in preparation of the November NSC, like this slide in terms of all the question papers, in terms of the administration. So I would like to skip that slide. Also, the second one, I think repeatedly spoken about the May-June exam as well as the November exam. In terms of the early learning level assessment, it was administered in 642 schools. The general education certificate, the list of 33 participating schools has been finalized for the pilot. And there was a workshop to train teachers also from participating schools on the implementation of the integrated project-based assessment task that was hosted by E-Cubed. Printing of the PELS test instrument has been completed and ready for administration, which was August, because yeah, it was before the second quarter ended. I think I already touched on the reports for SACMEC and PELS, because this was also in preparation of those reports. Provincial planning and implementation support. I already touched on the one meeting which was held, Minister held with District Directors Forum, that was on 10 June. Some of the issues discussed were 3-year curriculum recovery plans and basic education sector response to the COVID-19 pandemic, schooling and vaccine rollout, and positive discipline to address bullying in schools. And we know bullying is real in schools. Schools, principal satisfaction survey. I hope I'm not confusing you. I said there's no target set for this year, but this national report on the satisfaction levels of school principals is based on 2021, because the indicator had a target then, so that the report has been produced. So it will be a survey this year, then the following year a report will be produced on the satisfaction level, because it's key to know if the districts do support schools. I think district development model, there's a plan to support education districts on the establishment of the technical and implementation teams, and that has been approved and also communicated to the provinces. I think I will touch on the database to establish the appointment status of all 75 district directors, which has been developed. Fundamentals of performance self-assessment for districts. A total number of 191 officials attended the review sessions. Monitoring of 2021 filling of vacancies. The information, 2020 information on the filling of vacancies and tools of trade for Eastern Cape, Free State and Limpopo provinces was updated. DG workshops with circuit managers that took place on 5 to 6 July. 65 participants from first cluster to 28 participants for second cluster. So it's the three PEDs for first cluster, three PEDs second cluster, and three PEDs were 48 for the third cluster. In terms of the school level management planning and implementation support, the reports indicate an increase in the number of underperforming schools compared to 2020, which may be attributed to the effects of COVID-19. The CISCOs monitored 414 schools in 44 districts. Publication of school calendars, 2022 calendar was published in the Government Gazette in May. Proposed 2023 calendar was published in also Government Gazette. 15 June has been recommended to HEDCOM. Then in terms of the calls presidential hotline, the DBE is currently at 99.8% of call resolution rate with 1,295 cases that has been resolved. I think this one is also referring to the call center. We've also touched on the management of underperforming schools. So the nine PEDs have submitted their reports. They have identified these underperforming schools. There is a decline in the number of chronically underperforming schools. However, there was an increase compared to previous year. Monitoring of district support, 894 schools, school visits were conducted in 30 districts across provinces. This is primary and secondary schools. The NEDU National Education Evaluation and Development Unit, the provincial oversight reports on COVID-19 in preparation for all learners in primary schools, who were returning on 26 July and in the third term, and also prepared three reports on questions, customized separate sets of questions per province. There was also a report based on the survey about the COVID-19 on the functionality of schools amidst the COVID-19 pandemic was also finalized and shared with the provinces. I think I can move. Provincial monitoring is also important for the national department to monitor in terms of the budget, conduct the analysis and expenditure reports. So that has been done. And also additional, the analysis of the 2021-22 APP in terms of also the expenditure or budget versus expenditure has been conducted. MEs, I've touched on the MEs under the indicators, but also to report in terms of the modernized SASMs, which will assist the whole sector in terms of the modern system where we can get real-time data, where even we can get information captured at school level, and also we can have access to the information. Lorry system, I also spoke about it because we also provide a report at the end of the financial year. But this the report here, it covers the number of learners who were uploaded on the Lawrence system. This is also, in this slide, a continuation of the Lawrence system at different intervals. Grant management. Evaluation was conducted in all the provinces. In the fourth quarter, reports were submitted on conditional grants to the National Treasury, donor grant resources from the USAID, government to government, and USA. Korea. Sorry? It's United States Agency for International Development, yes, USAID, and G2G, and so that, and South Korea utilized to address sector priorities. Project management also facilitated a consultative meeting on 1 June with Treasury on the state of European Union, which is the EU-funded projects. Three EU-funded projects were envisaged to finish at the end of 2021 financial year. Proposal has been made to National Treasury to extend projects to 2024 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. That brings us to the end of Program 4. And Program 5 is on educational enrichment services. As much as we teach learners in class, but we need to also to support them. Provide psychosocial support, moral support, health, and nutrition, and so forth. This program has four quarterly indicators, and all of which have been achieved in quarter two. Quarter one, however, 5.1.1, 20 against 35 target because of the COVID-19 conditions. In quarter two, 63 was achieved against 30, so to make up for the shortfall in quarter one. 5.1.2 is an annual indicator on HIV and AIDS business plans. We have reported that all the nine, in quarter one, all the nine PEDs have 2021-22 business plans. And second quarter, we have reported a milestone and we are preparing or working on the business plans for 2022-23 and under the conditional grants. 5.1.3, that's also key, National School Safety Framework, the NSSF, then social cohesion, sports and enrichment programs. A target has been achieved in both quarters. 5.1.4, number of learners, educators, parents, SGBs, and other education stakeholders reached through social cohesion programs. The quarterly targets, they have both been achieved, quarter one and quarter two. And also it has assisted to conduct in quarter two the roadshows in KZN, engaging applicants in terms of the other programs, which assist the victims of the TRC, Truth and Reconciliation Program. 5.1.5, another quarterly indicator on districts implementing the program on school assemblies to end school-related gender-based violence. So both targets were achieved for both quarters. I've been touching there and there in terms of these programs under the indicators, like this one, the NSSF, I've already touched on it in terms of what we achieved. Then school safety, violence and bullying prevention initiative, a total of 366 learners, educators, stakeholders and officials attended. Sport and enrichment in education, Sing Like a Pro masterclass. So the DBE collaborated with Cape Town Opera, the CTO, to produce a 7-part e-learning series. In terms of the school sports, which were held, interprovincial meetings were successfully held in April and May. Spelling Bee also to encourage our learners in terms of spelling, the process of developing words in Sesotho and isiXhosa for implementation in 2022 commenced in quarter one, and the guidelines also for reading clubs competitions were developed to introduce new creative writing competition and to promote the culture of reading also. This was support provided to the Education Employment Initiative by Transnet that donated 20 chess sets per province. Sasuke, Sing Like a Pro, I think I've touched on that in the previous slide. School nutrition, I also presented as the first indicator under Program 5, which is National School Nutrition Program. It's 83, the total for quarter one and quarter two. Social cohesion and equity in education. The National School Moot Court Program. There was a virtual workshop that reached 377 participants. And there were provincial rounds also across 9 PEDs, which commenced on 4 September. TRC, I just touched a bit on it in the previous slide. A total of 1,110 applications were received for the two quotas. Advocacy training on the protocol for management and reporting of sexual abuse and harassment in schools. There was a district workshop in Gauteng with 44 officials in attendance. Girls and Boys Movement, GPM online dialogue sessions in KZN and Mpumalanga. And then the draft guidelines for social inclusion of sexual orientation, gender identity expression, sex characteristics in schools has been circulated. Engagements on rights and responsibilities workshop was held at Wongaletu with school governing body members on 31st August 2021. Nkosi Albert Luthuli oral history program workshop with district coordinators on oral history topics was held also in 2021. Celebrating women in the education sector that was held during the Women's Month in August. So the DBE published a digital online campaign in celebration of Women's Month, which is commemorating the year of Charlotte Matlake. Gender-based violence, the GRP master training took place on 2 to 5 August in Eastern Cape to train master trainers in gender-responsive pedagogy who will further train their respective provinces. So in terms of health promotion, the vaccination program I already touched on, which was launched by the minister 23 June under the highlights. Business plans, provincial business plans on HIV and AIDS I also touched on and even indicated that we are working on finalizing the 2022-23 business plans for HIV and AIDS. 140 learner support agents were recruited, orientated, and placed in 14 districts, 10 per district, implementing DREAMS. So this is in addition to over 3,000 learner support agents appointed through the Life Skills Conditional Grant. Adolescent girls and young women, 32,338 have been reached with the core package of services. The draft learner pregnancy policy has been approved for presentation to cabinet. I've touched on the HPV, I think on under the highlights. Then the hygiene packages were delivered in all participating schools. I've also covered that under the highlights. I've touched on this HIV and AIDS conditional grant. On 24 to 26 August, the comprehensive sexuality education training of trainers, COT, for officials, life skills and life orientation subject advisors was conducted. And then this was followed by the 146 SGBs, school governing bodies, 120 SMTs, school management teams, sensitizations for 56 schools in Joburg South, and educator training, 183, was held between 30 August and 22 September. A total of 60,352 girls reached through adolescent girls and young women program. 1,343 SGBs sensitized, I think I'm repeating that one, and also the HPV has been covered. For psychosocial support, 40 master trainers were identified and interviewed for the common elements treatment approach. Orientation also in Northwest District and provincial officials on basic counseling skills manual. There was also a webinar hosted on resilience for Eastern Cape officials, as well as the officials officials for the Saripatman district, also within the same province. The last two slides presenting the National School Nutrition Program. First slide, quota one, and the second slide, quota two. The number of learners fed in quintile 1 to 5, which is 5 million for quota one. Number of schools, primary and special schools, 10,644. Number of learners, secondary schools, quintile 1 to 5, 2.7 million. Number of quintile 1 to 5 schools, 4,440. And the last slide is still on National School Nutrition Program for quarter two. Number of schools fed in quintile 1 to 5 primary is 5.6 million. Number of quintile 1 to 5 primary and special schools, 15,382. Number of learners fed in secondary schools, 3.3 million. Number of quintile 1 to 5 schools, 5,388. Thank you, Chair. That brings me to the end of the presentation.
Morning, Chair, and morning, honorable members of the portfolio committee, the DM, as well as colleagues from the PDE. I'll deal with the financial part of the presentation. If we can go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Next slide, Mr. Marada.
Sorry.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, because I'm the one presenting, sorry.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Chair, the budget for the year is 27 billion. 82% of the budget goes to mainly conditional grants, which is 22 billion. And the balance goes to other projects like compensation of employees, examiners, moderators, office accommodation, but I'll talk more to this in the next slides, Chair. Next slide, please. Next slide. Next, yeah, this one, yeah. Go back one slide. Yes, thank you. On this slide, Chair, we're showing the budget and expenditure for the first quarter per program. As at the first quarter, which is 25% of the year, the straight line expectation of expenditure would be 25%. So if we have spent above 25% or around 25%, it's normally accepted. But on this slide, we're showing that except for program two, which is curriculum policy, and program three, which is teachers. All the other programs were spending either slightly below or slightly above the 25% norm. The underspending under curriculum program two, the 9.7%, is because ordinarily the curriculum delivery as well as expenditure happens more towards the end of the financial year in the third and fourth quarter. So in the first and second quarters, the spending would be low because the delivery is for the following school year or financial year, and it happens mainly in the last quarters of the year. With regards to teachers, the spending is almost 100% because most of the budget sitting there is the money that we transfer to universities for Funza Lushaga bursaries. So we transfer this money early in the financial year. So that's why the spending already at the first quarter shows as if we're overspending. If we can go to, okay, the bottom line there shows that on average you are spending 50% of the budget. If we go to the next slide, I think after two slides, yeah. Can we go to slide on economic classification? The next one? Yeah, this one. Thank you. This slide is the same budget and expenditure, except for the fact that whereas the previous one showed the information per program, this one shows information per economic classification. As I've mentioned, on goods and services, for example, we're spending at 8.9%, and that's where we pay our workbooks. That's where our workbooks budget is sitting. And as I've explained, this budget gets spent, most of it or all of it, let me say most of it gets spent towards the end of the financial year. So the spending won't show in the first quarter or second quarter. Then another one, which is showing material difference, is program five. Economic classification five, which is payments for capital assets, where we're spending 5.33%. That budget includes spending or payments for the school infrastructure backlogs grant, which is ordinarily referred to as RCD. And at the beginning of the year, the spending kicked off very slowly, but it started picking up in the second quarter and coming up to the third quarter. And the reason for that is because the effects of the lockdowns had not tapered off, because during the hard lockdown of level 5 and level 4, construction work had stopped, and that's why we even underspend in the previous financial year. So construction started picking up mainly after April, so that's why you'd find that there was underspending in the first quarter. If we can move, then I think I'm done now with quarter one. If we can move to quarter two, because those are the main issues on quarter one. Just move on. Just move back. No, it's not this one. Yeah, just go on. I'll let you know. Yeah, quarter two, yeah. And this one we've spoken to is the same summary. Go to the slide that shows, yeah, this one. On quarter two, Chair, when we get to quarter two, end of September, it's actually half of the year So the norm would be that the spending should be around 50%, because that's half of the year. So I'll talk to those areas where the spending is materially different from the 50% norm. And it's the same two culprits, the curriculum policy program two, which I have already explained that the spending would pick up in the third and fourth quarters, as well as teachers. As you can see, whereas in the first quarter we had spent 92%, in the second quarter it shows 93%, which shows that the spending has actually stopped. In the, as I've said, most of the spending went to the transfer of Funzalo Shaka bursary. So as you can see, that if you spend 92% in the first quarter, the expectation is that by the second quarter the budget will start overspending. But true to form, it has stopped spending normally, and by the end of the year we should spend not more than the 100%. And if you look at the total spending percentage, we are just above the 50% average. We are at 56%. If we can go to the slide on economic classification, I think it's two slides down here. Yeah, this one. On economic classification, Chair, just go one back. On economic classification, yeah, thanks. Yeah, on economic classification, Chair, the same explanation applies. As I've explained when we dealt with the first quarter, as you can see, the goods and services budget is still underspending, simply because of that workbooks budget that only spends in the last quarter. The bulk of this, about 1.3 billion of this 2 billion budget, is workbooks. And then the next one, which is also underspending, is the RCD budget, that payments for capital assets, which is spending 39%. And as I've explained, this budget, performance and spending is picking up, besides that in the third quarter it will show that it has picked up more speed. And then the average spending, as just like with the program budget and expenditure per program, it's the same in the sense that we've spent on average 56.04%. Chair, those are the important points that I wanted to highlight on the expenditure side. We'll stop here, Chair. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. This is the presentation from Basic Education. Over to you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, DM and the presenter. Thank you so much for the presentation of quarter one and quarter two. Members, that's the quarter one and quarter two presentation from the department. I think we've got an understanding of how they spent in all the programs, what is it that they have done with the money, and how is their spending, the targets they have planned, and what they have achieved. I would allow members to interact with both presentations. Are we fine? Honorable Nodada? It's your only hand for now. You can proceed.
And it's not my son also. I'm trying, my hand doesn't want to rise.
Okay.
Honorable Chairperson.
It's Honorable Nodada, it's Honorable Babu Ngobo, it's Honorable Adwans, it's Honorable Litsiye. Can I then allow in that order?
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, just can I just check in my audible with you, Chair?
Yes, yes.
Cool, thank you so much. Good morning to everybody, and thanks from the department for the presentation. First of all, I would like to commend the teachers, learners, support staff, and the department as a whole for conducting exams that actually did not have or had minimal, if we, as the deputy minister put it, challenges when it comes to it, unlike what we had dealt with in the previous academic year. I just wanted to check, though, with the deputy minister. There's Minister Tulas Nglesi now has been advised by SEDLAC that there must be mandatory vaccines, or well, there must be vaccination passports that are issued out to workers that work for the public sector, for them to access specific spaces and so on. Since now we're going through a process of marking the examinations, will you as a Department of Basic Education be applying that recommendation or not? And also going into the new year with teachers having to go back to school, will you be applying that based on the recommendation that has been now made by SEDLAC? Secondly, we were supposed to receive a report within 7 days, Chair. I'm just raising it with you from the minister as per the last meeting that we had about the FCD program. We didn't receive that report, and I was hoping that we maybe would have received it by now since we're going to be dealing with the BRRR. And that's just an oversight that I just want to bring to your attention, Chair. Then I just want to jump straight into the questions based on the presentations by the department. I just need to find my questions here quickly. Firstly, on slide 18, it talks about the legal services that are. It talks about the legal services that have been. Yes, Chair. Am I audible, Chair?
I can't hear. But not that.
Yes, Chair.
You are very unstable. Can you probably switch off your video?
I've done that, Chair. Am I audible now?
You better now, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. On slide 18, Chair, I just wanted to check what were the total incurred costs for legal services by the department. As I've tried to check the financials, it doesn't indicate. And how does that compare to the previous year in terms of the costs that were incurred? Secondly, in slide 38, there's a total of 3,727 learners with disabilities that use the learning program for LPID. What is the total amount of learners with proficient intellectual disabilities in the country of this number? And how many do not have access to learning programs for LPID, if you do have that information? If not, can it please be sent to us as a report? Thirdly, in terms of the dropouts, you know, there was a question that has been posed in writing and in oral of what mechanisms are put in place to track learners who have dropped out and what strategies have been implemented to ensure they return to school. If we can maybe get, as much as we also get a report from the department of the impact of interventions they put in place, such as, curriculum interventions on radio or extra classes or television programs, they have interventions that they put in place to try and mitigate some of these challenges. Could they maybe provide us with a report or an update on to how they track learners who have dropped out and what strategies they've actually used to try and track them back, and maybe give us a provincial breakdown in terms of that, Chair. Because when we set these targets for quarters and annual targets, we need to also translate it to having impact on the ground, and I think we've said that quite numerous times. In slide 45, with regards to monitoring tools that have been developed for coding and robotic studies, is there a report readily available on the outcomes of the pilots that were identified through these tools, or is that still coming to us? And if so, can you know get an update on that? Second, lastly, Chair, we had in the previous meeting, and I think it's been minuted that we wanted to check how many schools actually don't have access to one network or internet in order to join the online or virtual learning shift. And I'm assuming that the report will still come based on the presentation here. I just wanted to, you know, just to remind colleagues in the department that that will assist us in terms of how we're best able to accommodate these learners, especially during this shift. In slide 81, and I think in our visit in the oversight in KZN, we were in, you know, it was indicated that the placements of Funza Lushaga learners is much lower across other provinces based on the reasons the MEC have put in place. What has the department done to ensure that these learners that come through this, program or graduation, graduates from this program in KZN in particular, are actually placed considering the lower number compared to other provinces? In slide 91, what is the current backlog of schools that are needing or planning to be built? And what was the shortfall in 2021, if there was any in these two quarters? And then lastly, Chair, in slide 98, there is a mention that there was a target of 0% for a number of school principals that rate the support of services in districts being satisfactory. What is the reason for this being 0%? Because I think it works hand in glove in ensuring that we get quality outcomes of the academic program in schools, if that can be answered, Chair. But I'll just stop there for now. Thanks.
Thank you. Babalawa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, members from the Department of Education. I think we had a deputy minister as well. Honorable Chairperson, I just have a couple of questions and they are short. The first one is with regards to the staff members who were denied incapacity leave. If maybe one may know the reasons behind that, I'm asking that from an experience of where one comes from. It's schools where teachers get denied the right to get boarding simply because they have to go to a particular doctor or particular doctors hired by the department. And you really find that those teachers, some of them, or most of those teachers, are really incapacitated. They cannot go on with work, which becomes unfair. You are not even allowed to go to your own doctor for at least maybe a second opinion if the department does not or fears that there is foul play. That was the first question. The second one, Honorable Chairperson, is with regards to Funza Lushaga. I have a different opinion, unfortunately, with a question which has been posed with regards to the placement of teachers from Funza Lushaga.
In KwaZulu-Natal in particular, in KwaZulu-Natal, my experience is that Funza Lushaka gets a priority. Maybe it's because I'm comparing. Funza Lushaka teachers, Funza Lushaka teachers, they get a priority over the ones that had to go to the institutions themselves funding their learning, and that becomes a bit problematic to prioritize a person who at least has already received assistance from the department at the expense even of a person who had to make ends meet to go to school, the institutions, so as to get learning. I just wanted to know if the department is looking at that, at least to have a balance in terms of how these people get absorbed into the schools. The third one, Chairperson, one is experiencing quite a lot of teachers roaming the streets or doing jobs, odd jobs, which they are able maybe to find here and there, simply because they cannot get appointments anywhere. My question is it because we have produced more teachers than we want, than we need in the country? And I don't know. I doubt if it is so, because if one looks at the circumstances we live in right now, it looks like we do need teachers. We lose teachers, and therefore we need teachers. But I don't see teachers getting appointed. Unfortunately, I am not able to quote specifics. I don't have statistics to back my assertion. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Those are the questions I had.
Thank you. Honorable Advance.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And let me also appreciate the presentations that we received. They were very long presentation, but very informative, and they were very detailed. I do not have many questions. But one question I have is similar of that was raised by Honorable Mabo on the issue of placement of Funza Lushaka beneficiaries. My question on that one is that is it only them, Funza Lushaka beneficiaries, that have been placed or prioritized, or what is the criteria? How do they make the placement? As we have received the presentation or the report or the presentation, it does not specify what the criteria was made, because there's an ongoing concern on, you know, learners or students that go to university to study, you know, for teaching, and they struggle to get, you know, to be placed. And we hear that the department is prioritizing only the Funza Lushaka beneficiaries. If maybe we can just get the clarity on that one. And secondly, it's on the issue of the environments that I see on the presentation. If also maybe we can get a clarity of whether is how the things are done when you do, you know, the budgeting process, or you allow your, especially the one that is made to Ulpumalusi, do they apply for for how can I put this? Or for money to be or funds to be increased, or do we see where do we have or the department does it see where does it have the unused funds and then transfer to or make requirements to their to the other entities like they've done with Mwalusi. And lastly, it's on the issue of on the issue of the rollover a budget that they being approved by Umalusi, how not by Umalusi, by National Treasury. So they, how going forward or in future, such challenges that they are facing now, are they going to, you know, resolve them going forward without necessarily underspending or had to deal with, your rollover budgeting. So those are the only questions that I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Zia.
Thank you very much, Chair. I would like to apologize for not putting on my video. My bandwidth has been a little bit problematic, and I hope I'm audible, Chair.
Yes.
Chair, I think members have covered me on the other two questions I have, so which leaves me with one. On page, I think it was page 114 or 112, can't remember. The presenter would have informed us there that SA SAMS is doing an improvement on some parts of their systems. But could not elaborate further. So maybe if they can elaborate further on that, and I hope part and parcel of the improvement on those systems would be able to resolve the registration, maybe not, would be able to help us with placement of learners. As we all know, was it last week or a week before, the department would have given us a report that there's some 580,000 or so learners who have not been placed to date now, a month before schools resumes in the following year. So I'm just hoping that part and parcel of the improvement of the SA SAMS will be responding to some of these challenges, Chairperson. So it was just a short question. Elaborate on the improvement of SA SAMS and would it be responding to problems we have currently and what are they? There are many there, Chairs, as I've said a week or two ago. Apart from placement of learners, you have leave forms of teachers who I possibly now in hundreds of thousands on paper have not been processed and all of that. So can they at least give us the integrity of those improvements? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Rafaela.
Good day. And a good day to all members on this all-important platform. The platform on basic, Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. Thank you so much, Modula Studo, for the opportunity given. Allow me to join my fellow honorable members in welcoming And at the same time, appreciating, of course, the presentations outlined by DBE under the stewardship of the Minister of Basic Education, Mama Angie Motshekga, leading us politically, and the Director General, Ntate Mweli, as an administrative head, the chief clerk. The level of preparation or preparedness for both the first and the second quarter is welcome and indeed highly appreciated. Coupled, of course, Mudula Stulo, with the financials, though accompanied by the unprecedented and yet unavoidable continual budget cuts. We need to commend the department that they don't come to us with excuses, regardless of the minimum amount of the budget that they are always faced with. Of course, maybe last but not least, Mudula Stulo, there is need to give credit where credit is due. Running the full scene of grade 12 examinations on a clean slate, unlike the previous years, where we had a lot of drama and stories unending, is something this portfolio committee need to commend the Department of Basic Education as work well done. Bravo, the minister, and bravo to you, the director general. Last time when I wanted to give credit to Umadusi, Umadusi made a confession that in principle, the work of running examination is not the duty of Umadusi. Rather, it is the fundamental duty of the Department of Basic Education. You have represented us well with a distinction, and you have closed all of the openings which used to worry us as it did before. Lama Felelo, Mudula Stulo, that's why I said the last but not least, well wishing. If there is need under the circumstance, with all this said and done, Chairperson, and on behalf of myself, can I humbly plead and make a proposal with yourself as the chair of this portfolio committee, all important portfolio committee on basic education, that as you did before, you go all out and do it again on our behalf, by way of wishing all educators and the learners a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year, the year 2022. That will not be coming very cheap. It should be coming from our hearts, because this, in principle, is our line function. This is where we have been deployed. They must be able to know that we care for them in season and out of season. Thank you so much, Mudula Stulo, for the opportunity. And I also must say a happy Christmas to all members of this portfolio committee, and a prosperous 2022. To my colleagues, we used to share this platform. See you next year, and I see you when you see me. Thank you very much.
No, thanks very much, Principal. And thanks to all the members that have actually participated. Mine is not really a lot. Safe to say that we are welcoming, like all the members have said, both quarterly reports, and we are commending the department for keeping on achieving their targets as they have planned them. The overall spending is at 56%, which in my view it's better to have that 56% than less than 50%, you know. Would rather spend money that is allocated to us and spending it and be able to justify why we have spent it. The problems of our country, the challenges of this country need us to do that, particularly the social challenges, which is our business. Now, one issue that I would want to raise is this adolescent girls and young women program. How effective it is in the provinces where it is, where you are doing it. And I'm raising this question at the back of my mind, thinking that there is a teenage pregnancy policy that the department is gonna launch next year, which of course there is a lot of noise on it, a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of interest as well, a lot of satisfaction outside. There are many different views about it. But can you just be able to tell us the one versus the other, how effective is the other, which is now the adolescent girls and young women program that you have in the department. And of course, I think many members have raised issues. So I'm not going to waste time, but rather allow PM to lead the responses. She just sent me that she's kicked out. I'm not sure if she is back, and if she is not,
I'm back now.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll allow you then, DM, to lead the responses, and then you can hand over to the official.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome all the questions and the remarks by members. Let me not waste time. I don't know if TG is back because he's in and out into that other meeting, but I have a team of DDGs that are here. I will start with the CFO himself, then DDG Kaya will follow, DDG David. They know themselves, then they will follow in answering the questions. Over to you, CFO.
Thanks, DM. When DDG left, he indicated that I should lead the team on the administrative side. So, yeah.
That's why I'm starting with you.
Yeah, so what I'll do is, Chair, if you allow me, let me start with the issues that relate to finance. Maybe let me start with the Honorable Nodada's questions, those that I can deal with, and the others can be taken over by my colleagues. With regards to the issue of the reports that we were supposed to submit within 7 days, we will follow up because our records is that we submitted those reports, but we'll follow up, we'll check, and then it's something that we can deal with. And our apologies to the committee if those reports have not come through yet, but we will follow up on that. The other issue is on the spending on legal services, legal costs basically, because we pay costs onward to to lawyers. In the previous financial year, which is I'm looking now at my figures. Sorry, that's why I'm In the previous two financial years, 2019-2020, we spent a total of 12.8 million. In 2020-2021, we spent a total of 3.1 million. And for the current financial year to date, so far we've spent 3.1 million. So it's 12.8, 3.1, and 3.1. So for the first two figures, it's full financial years. And for the last figure is year to date for the 2021-2022 financial year. With regards to, I'll then go to the question asked by Honorable Adonis with regards to vireament. When we do vireament, we first request Treasury to approve, and once Treasury has approved, it's only then that we pass the vireaments. Without the approval, we don't pass the vireaments. So the vireaments that the honourable member is talking about would have been approved by Treasury. The next question is where do these come from, and with specific reference to Uma Lucy. We don't get any new money given the financial constraints within government. We don't get any new money when we've got new needs. So we have to go into, as we have done, we go into our budget and see which areas may be underspending or may underspend. Then we shift money from those areas to the area that is in need. The Uma Lucy budget for this year, we've increased it by 20 million. For this year, and it's going to be 20 million 2022-23 and 20 million in 2023-24. And we've done this with Treasury approval. As members may remember, the issue of Uma Lucy has featured even in this forum where the members requested that we should look into Uma Lucy's plight of funding. We've set up a team between ourselves and Uma Lucy, our team led by the minister, and on the side of Uma Lucy, it's led by the chairperson of council, where we've gone into their budgets to see what the challenges are and how we can resolve. That's why we ended up coming with this additional funding of 20 million per year in the next 3 years. Then the next question that relates to finance is the issue of the rollover budget. I'll answer part of it, and the other part I'll leave to the head of infrastructure to deal with. Yes, the rollover budget has been approved by Treasury with regards to and it's a rollover of 210 million. For infrastructure projects, RCD projects, which was not spent in the previous financial year. The question relating to how are we going to sort out the challenges such that they don't recur in the future. I'll leave that to the head of infrastructure. I'll then hand over to my fellow DDGs, Dr. Whittle, could start because there were a few questions on Funza Lushaka. I think it's Dr. Whittle who would start, and then we'll take it from there. Dr. Whittle.
Thank you very much, CFO. There are two questions that I thought I should respond to. The first one is by Honorable Nodada around dropouts. And his question specifically is about what measures, we have put in place. So we in the DBE know that the main reason why children drop out of school is because of weak learning foundations. And so the key investments that we've made over the last maybe 10 years is specifically in terms of how one then work with teachers and schools and districts and provinces to ensure that the learning foundations are improved. We know that by the time children get to grade 9 or 10, if the foundations are really weak, that they do tend to drop out of school. We also know that it's more boys than girls that drop out, and we know from the general household survey that a lot of boys are saying by the time they get to lower high school that education is uninteresting or boring, and we think that that is directly related to weak learning foundations. And so there's a long-term strategy in terms of how we go about addressing, issues of dropout. Specifically, though, Honorable Nodada, we've been working with an NGO that is based in the Western Cape, I think. They're called Zero Dropout. They've developed some interesting instruments and toolkits that they think that we should be looking at. Certainly, we are doing that. We're also looking with the, I think it's called the Triple Data Dashboard, the Triple D, and they've developed an interesting online program where they track learner attendance. And so after every, I think, 10 days of consecutive absence, that learner is flagged, and a process is then instituted to try and track, where that particular learner is. So this is not something that is rolled out nationally yet, but certainly something that we are looking at the moment. We've had several engagements with them, with a range of other partners, including UNICEF and the NECT as well, to see what it is that we can do together to try to address this particular issue of learner dropout. The other question, CFO, that's related to my area of work was raised by the Honorable Chairperson, which is around the effectiveness of the AGYW program. To say that, one of the measures, Chairperson, that we use to look at the success of this particular program is, in fact, a teen pregnancy. And so in those districts where we do work, as part of this program, we do work through the Global Fund as well as through the government-to-government agreement with USAID. We do track learner pregnancy, and we have been very successful in reducing learner pregnancy up until COVID. And so, when we presented to the committee a few months ago on teen pregnancy, we could demonstrate how we've had this bump in teen pregnancies, specifically linked to the COVID lockdown period. There is also this issue of children under the age of consent that are getting pregnant. And again, we think that that is directly related to COVID lockdowns, where children were locked, down in homes with abusers. And as a result that they have fallen pregnant. There's a process that we've initiated, working with the police, the NPA, the Justice Department, to begin to explore how we deal with these things going forward, and so that we can ensure that the necessary steps are taken to address that particular category of learners, particularly under the age of 16, who are falling pregnant. As you have indicated, Chairperson, we have had Cabinet approve the Learner Management and Prevention Policy. We're busy finalizing implementation plans, and we're hoping to roll those out in the new year. Thanks, CFO. I think that's my area. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Whitlow. Mr. Faker.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon to the Deputy Minister and the Portfolio Committee, as well as to the senior members, actually, of the department as well. I will respond to the Fundela Shaka placement. As everybody knows, the Fundela Shaka bursary scheme is actually a very good scheme. It basically covers actually the entire tuition fees of the learners. Likewise, also there's many provincial education departments that offer their own bursary schemes actually as well. In Western Cape being example of those, as well as Gauteng actually as well. KZN, to a large extent, actually has taken the stance basically actually that they're making no distinction between the graduates that's actually passing. So they regard everybody as being actually equal. That are the Fundela Shaka, the graduates themselves, as well as actually the own bursary people, as well as the first time, as well as the learners actually funding themselves actually going forward. So they place the people actually in terms of actually the needs actually of the particular school and curriculum actually going forward actually in that regard. Many of the other provinces, at least actually some of those are doing exactly the same way, but make no distinction in terms of actually who passes, whether it is a Fundela Shaka, a graduate itself, or one of the others, bursary people that has been given a bursary actually by the provincial education department. Alternatively, for example, if the person has actually funded actually themselves and by the parents in that regard. We, from a DVE point of view, we basically advocate actually that just as far as possible that they should try to place actually the Fundela Shaka people first actually. But it depends in terms of the needs of the provincial education departments in that regard. Another issue that basically influenced the placement of the Fundela Shaka figures actually as well is the fact actually that the FCS educators gets a preference first actually. So the departments will first try to actually match it, place them actually into post. After they will attend actually to the graduates, based in terms actually of the needs of that particular school. As indicated, we will basically request actually that the Fundela Shaka people get placed actually first, but that depends in terms actually of the provincial education departments, how they deal actually with it in that regard. Likewise also, a number of these people, of the graduates are not being placed, the reason being is because they may not actually meet the requirements actually of a particular school in that regard. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Faker. Mr. Van der Westhuizen.
Thank
you. Chair, I'm not sure I don't know what happened to Mr. Van der Westhuizen. Oh, okay.
I just battled this morning. Good morning to all the honourable members and Minister DM, DG and all the colleagues. Just from an infrastructure point of view, there was one question that I picked up, and that was on the ACD report. We prepare weekly reports to the Minister, and I think it can be a very simple thing to share the latest report with the committee. I'm sure if we can just forward that to the Secretariat, I think that should be fine. Then in terms of the just a view on infrastructure, I think the Sekuna reported on what we're doing and how we did up to quarter two. Where we are at the moment, we need to achieve the 21 schools. We believe we're going to achieve all 21 by the end of this financial year. On water supply, the target was 100. We also believe that is still achievable. And then on sanitation, the combined target for both ACD and SAFE on sanitation is 1,000. And also on that one, we are making good progress. And we have at the moment there, we have achieved over 400 of those schools already. And like Mr. Kuna said, it started slowly in quarter one, and it's really picking up in quarter two, and quarter three and four, The factories are in full swing. So I think that's where we are at the moment. And even in terms of the utilization of the budget, I think Mr. Kuna explained how the budget changed slightly. We at this point is still confident that we're going to utilize the full budget. Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Kuna.
Thanks, Mr. van der Westhuizen. There was a question that was related to the current backlog of schools to be built. I'm not sure whether you would have that information ready. It was from, Honorable Nodada. Mr. van der Westhuizen, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm just trying to get so on the... On the question of inappropriate structures, on the ASIRI program, we have 341 schools on the program earmarked as schools that were built entirely out of inappropriate structures. Those are all the mud schools and the plunky schooler and the all kinds of other innovative ways that some of these schools were built. So out of the 341, we have already replaced 282. So I trust that provides an answer. We also indicated that in this financial year, we are doing 21. Of those 21, we have also already completed, if I just get the detail quickly here, we've already completed 7 of those, and there are the balance of them are in advanced stages of construction. So get them through by the end of March. So the remaining schools are then scheduled for completion in the next financial year, which is the 2023 financial year. Then we would have wrapped up all the inappropriate structures that we currently have on our system. If any of the members have got evidence or any information about other schools that are entirely made of inappropriate materials, we would really appreciate that. There are many schools that have specific buildings that may be of inappropriate materials. Now, at the point when ASIRI was initiated, that was not part of ASIRI. So we are aware of the fact that there may be schools that have some appropriate structures, but then somewhere there may be one or two classrooms or even ablution blocks made of inappropriate structures. At the time, those were not part of ASIRI, and those were handled by the provinces. So we were tasked to eradicate those where the entire school was made of inappropriate structures, and those are the figures that I quoted. I trust that response to the question, Mr. Kuno.
Thank you, Mr. van der Westhuizen. Dr. Simelane, on the learners with special profound intellectual disabilities. I'm not sure what happened to Dr. Simelane. He was on the call. We'll try to get him back.
He is, and he has opened his mic. I don't know what's happening. Mr. Simelane, Dr. Simelane? His microphone is open, but it doesn't show that it is speaking. He's not muted. Maybe his network. Unless
maybe we can move to the next one and he could log out and come back in. Maybe it will help, dear. The next one is I want Mr. Faker to come back and talk the issues of there was a question on the number of schools. Principals 0%, as well as staff members that would have been denied incapacity leave, and we're talking at schools. So, and the third one, which I want Mr. Faker to deal with, and maybe the DM will add to that, is the issue of the vaccination passport. Mr. Faker, you want to come in?
Thank you.
Dr. Kuno, maybe you could just repeat with regard to actually the one in terms of the 0%, but with regard to actually incapacity leave, basically to a large extent, actually the processes whereby an educator basically needs to apply for actually incapacity leave. That is, educators and different types of incapacity leave actually out there. So it's very difficult to provide a distinct response in that regard. But with regard to the process actually going forward, is once an educator has been actually on sick leave, and for example, actually has utilized all the sick leave in that regard, they are allowed to apply for incapacity leave in terms of what you call actually the pillar process. That particular process then goes actually to the health risk manager, and the health risk manager then makes a recommendation to the provincial education department, and then the leave is granted based in terms of the recommendation which is made by the health risk manager. So if, for example, if the health risk manager recommends that the leave should actually not approve, the provincial education department basically got no choice, and that is not to approve the capacity leave of that particular educator. Of course, this is all subject actually to the age actually as well, whereby these particular cases get actually ordered on actually a regular basis because of the cost implication in that regard. I'm not quite sure actually in terms of the question on the 0% actually of principles. Maybe you can just enlighten me actually what was the exact question.
Yeah, I wrote it here very in a hurry because I was trying to write all the questions. I wrote number of schools, principals, 0%. But I suppose that the Honourable will clarify when we come to the end of the questions of the responses. Let me see who else, what other question has not been dealt with, DM. Yes. Ms. Nugadelue, are you able to deal with issues of connectivity? There were two questions. One dealt with how many schools do not have access to network, and that was Honorable Nondada. And the other question was from Honorable Litie, SAM's improvements. We should elaborate further on this, Ms. Nugadelua.
Thank you, Mr. Kuno, and honourable members and honourable chairperson. I'm just trying to find if the colleagues who deal with the EMS are actually on the call, but in the absence of those colleagues, we will provide that information. We have actually been able to speak to our provincial counterparts to set up a monitoring system for how many schools per province have this connection, and we can provide that information. Obviously, it changes from month to month, but we can provide that information to the portfolio committee after this meeting. I hope that's in order. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Nugadelue. Dr. Simelane seems to be struggling with his mic. He called me to say he has sent responses to me, but I can't find them. But I'll hand over to the DM at this stage. DM, over to you.
Yeah, thank you. And representing the DG. I don't know whether I'm still audible. My network is kicking and bringing me back. Chairperson, am I audible?
We can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I just wanted to outline to clarify the issue by Honorable Nodada on vaccination certificate, that as our teachers go to marking center, will we want vaccination certificates or what? I'm saying as much as would want all our teachers to get vaccinated, that's our wish, but we can't force anyone to vaccinate if that person maybe according to his or her religion or whatever, does not want to. But we are not going to stop to practice, to implement the non-pharmaceutical protocols, that as they come in, we are going to check them, of course, temperature and all this. If they have anything, they must report, like they did last year. Fortunately, it's not for the first time, Chair, that we are marking under COVID-19 circumstances. So what we did last year, we'll continue to do this year, that if some teachers feel that they're not well, they will go and test. When their test says they are positive, then they will go back home or they will isolate some tests even before they go to the marking center and withdraw their names. That's why when we recruit teachers for marking, the number this time we add more so that there will be replacement. So there shall be no time where we say we are short of markers. They will always be there because we have recruited more. On the Funza Lushanka, Chairperson, when we recruit on the Funza Lushanka, we have a criteria because we have these subjects that we know that we need them. So when we recruit, it's not just a kukulela ngok that anyone just go. So we know that we want learners to do this and this, especially according to our new priorities. Like now we are emphasizing on the three-stream model of vocational technical subjects. That's where we put the money to that people. And as we recruit, our recruitment is not selective. We recruit at a district level. That's where people are, at the district, not even at the province, at a district level. So as we do that, we each and every district, they must know their needs. Then they recruit according to their needs and the needs of national basic education, that we support these subjects. So it happens then that somebody gets a bursary of Funza Lushanka. When he arrives at a school, maybe to specialize in mathematics and science, he finds that, hey, these subjects are very difficult. Then we'll change to lighter subjects, which are no longer a priority, even in that district. So when a person comes back, it's not easy for that person to be placed. Yes, we are obliged to place them, but when you arrive at university and started to change your area of specialties, which we recruited you based on, then it becomes a problem. But the placement rate is high. It differs from province to province. And we have provinces wherein when they have their elderly teachers, they don't want to release them. They say because this one has an experience, and that is rife in the Western Cape. This teacher, you find that there are teachers who are over 70 years, but they are still in the system. Yet you have your new cohort of teachers who must come in, and their space is occupied by a 70-year-old or 75-year-old. We do have such cases. And not to say that we are recruiting more than the system needs, but the system does not want to release some of the people who want to be released. Because sometimes at a school level, second level, district level, we request them not to go. I did it also myself when I was in it. I remember one principal was very good in mathematics. Then when it was his time to retire at the age of 65, I refused that teacher to retire. I said, no, we're not going anywhere. We need this skill. And the man went up until 70. Then he said, no, now I'm begging you, I'm going. And now the experience that we have learned, Chef, these young ones are doing extremely well. It's just that because we are the old school, we don't want to release what we have because we think it's more important than the new cohort of teachers. They are doing very well, and their peers, the learners, listen more to them, and they want to emulate them, they want to be like them, And it's something that in the system we need to practice, that as their time has come, let's release them and absorb the new ones. But we are not saying that those who went on their own to train as teachers are not absorbed by the system. But it's not easy to absorb you when you arrive at university. Then they say, no, we have a bursary in the religious studies. And you come in that circuit, that subject is not there in the circuit where you want to be employed. That's our problem. And when you arrive at university, that faculty has more money to give to students, because what they give in the economy of our country is no longer a priority, because we are responding to the needs of the economy, not necessarily on the social aspects of people. So that's why we have this. So, but we are engaging higher education and universities that let's talk to the dynamics of life. We cannot stay in the past when we are living in this future and the envisaged future. That's the way to go. So on infrastructure, this one I always say, Chair, it's always a moving target. You think you have won the battle, the next thing, there's a backlog. When we started ACD, we were addressing the backlog, especially on the MUD structures, because there were provinces where they have MUD schools. And there are other provinces which have unsafe structures, which are not necessarily MUD schools, and which were not included in the ACD program. But those structures are seriously and extremely unsafe for the learners. So now we'll think that we've addressed the issue of MUD schools. Now we have these unsafe structures, prefabs, asbestos, and the mobile classrooms, because some schools from day one are operationalized through the mobile classrooms. And they get old, they rot, when rains come, all these things happen. And now when we have to replace, you find that in the MTF, that school is not there in the budget. And it remains a backlog. And as years go by, it deteriorates and becomes unsafe for the learners. So, but we are working with the provinces to prioritize, but we have this other challenge of the movement of people, the population dynamics, that you build a school here, people are moving towards the economic active area. Then they leave the school, it remains a white elephant. Now where they are going to is another need erupts. That's where our challenge is. I didn't get the question exactly on the learners with profound and on the special schools. Maybe if honorable member can repeat that question, we can try to answer it in the event Mr. Smelane or Dr. Smelane is still having a challenge. Thank you, Chairperson.
DM, sorry, the question on the learners was regarded the numbers, how many, and Dr. Smelane has come back to me to say they look for this information, and it talks about the exact numbers basically. So it's something that the department would have to go back and look for and provide.
That one will come back, if maybe they can write it as a written reply, but we can send to the secretariat of the portfolio committee, because we might not have the numbers now, and if it's unsigned, we might be wrong. So thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much, DM, and your team for the responses that you have given to the committee. What would then need to be sent? We would expect you to send it to our
to our secretariat in writing. Babunqoba, your hand is up. Honorable Nqoba.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, I didn't want to interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. When the Chairperson finishes, unless she is winding up now, I will come in. I just wanted to make a follow-up, if I'm permitted to do so.
No, if there's a follow-up, then let's allow you to do it, Bob Nqoba.
Oh, thank you very much. Chairperson, there is only one small thing which seemed to disturb me. I don't understand the response. I think it came from Sally, but I might be mistaken. When it says prioritizing learners who received the Funza Lushaka bursary, as a department, we feel that we have to prioritize them. To me, that is not enough, because it's not just about the department. It's about everybody. It's about us as well. It's about those learners out there. I just wanted to say something on that one. But also, Deputy Minister, you see, Honorable Deputy Minister, there is a problem here. It's not only you will find also that there are teachers qualified to teach scarce subjects as well, scarce subjects, who are walking around with those qualifications and are not being absorbed. I'm not causing a debate on this one, Honorable Chair. I just want them to be noted. Maybe next time there will be a way to come back to them. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for your favor.
Thank you, Babu Nqoba. DM, I'm not sure if you would want to respond.
Thank you, Chair. But Mr. Nqoba is very correct that he does not want to raise a debate. If you heard me clearly, I said any teacher or student teacher who has done subjects that are a priority and needed is appointed by the system. Any, whether Funza Lushaka, whether trained by parents. That's why I even said some of the Funza Lushaka, when they arrived at the university, we recruited them to go and do this particular subject. And when they arrived there, they changed the subject. And now they take subjects that are not a priority. Like in my case, if I can, where I live is mostly in Siswat. If I can change from taking physical science and now I say I'm training to teach Siswat. Yes, Siswat is a priority, I know. But we find that now we don't need a Siswati teacher. We need a physical science teacher. They cannot appoint a Siswati teacher in the place of a physical science teacher because the shortage is on this subject. That's why we even say, we don't say, because this region or district has recruited this number, then they must be absorbed by that district. No, they are absorbed by the system anywhere in the country. And I indicated that sometimes we keep the old teachers in the system. I said that is a big drive in Western Cape, where that's why sometimes even the placement of Funza Lushaka in the Western Cape becomes a bit low. But I'm not saying Western Cape alone and some other provinces, but at a very less numbers of older teachers that are even kept on contract. So we are studying this. It's our interest, all of us, that when we have trained teachers, we need to absorb them. But you cannot swallow what your throat cannot take. So we will go back and study the numbers exactly as to how many teachers, how many are retiring in the next 3 years,
how many will be produced by the system in that period, then we'll know exactly. But our team from teacher development have that information, which we will one day come and present to the portfolio committee on the number and the ages of our teachers and the numbers of those that are at universities or work with higher education to give us the numbers of those that went on their own and those who have been sent by food bank. Thank you. David, you disturbed me. I saw, Dichi, you are back, but there's one question, but that question, I think, because they needed numbers of learners with severe to profound disabilities, we said we'll send that number to the secretariat of the committee. Dichi, I don't know if you, but you didn't get the questions. I think we've covered almost all the questions. I was just elaborating on this follow-up. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, indeed, DM. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dichi.
All right. No, thanks, Ben. Thank you very much, DM. Like we have said, we will await for the other responses that need a detail. I'm of the view now that all the issues that the members have raised have been well responded to, and safe to say now we are coming to an end of this meeting, which is our last meeting with the department for this year. Safe to say that we must acknowledge and commend that we've been having very good smooth relations with the department. We've managed to work together since we started in 2009, and we can gladly say that the department is really improved, is really doing very well. Challenges will remain there. There are issues that would not really be satisfactory being met, but the reality is that there is a movement which I think all the members are able to see. And there and there, of course, we will have our own disagreements because we are human beings, and they are healthy, actually. We need to have disagreements. But I think at the level where one is sitting to chair this committee, I'm very grateful to have a committee of this nature where we are able to differ, but being able to move forward together, where we try very much not to have issues. Even if we have issues, we are able to amicably and maturely resolve them. I think we are one of the best committees that we have in the National Assembly. And we must say to the fact that the department is able to cooperate with us to be advised and be able to work with us. I think we are grateful from the side of the committee. I must say to the members as well, we might be a multi-party committee with different mandates, but we have shown that we can be able to be tolerant to one another, which is very important. So I must say that to the members as well, thank you very much, you know, for making sure that all our meetings managed to sit without really struggling for any quorum of some sort. Thank you very much for being tolerant to one another, and thank you very much for understanding that we are coming from different political homes, but the reality is that there are children that we need to guard the interest of in our country. And we've managed to do that in 2021.
We've worked almost this year virtually. We've never really met a lot, which is it's something strange that we have come to be very comfortable with, because we do not have any other option. But with that as it may, we have managed to continue with the work. We have worked, we have only been able to see each other when we were doing oversights. And all of us are still healthy and good, and which is very good for all of us. To our staff, our support staff in Parliament, we are really nothing without you guys. You might be behind the scenes, but the reality we are all relying on you for our meetings to continue, for us to put content into all the big books that we're getting with the presentations from the department and so on. We are grateful. Don't take light the work that you are doing. You are making us shine, you are making us bigger. We are grateful for the work we have done. It has been quite a very challenging year. On the hindsight, whilst we are here, all of us, we are politicians, we are human beings. We've had just recent local government elections, and speaking as an ANC member, and also as a resident of the country, I think one must say that it's a fact we would have to be worried with the outcome of these local government elections, because as much as maybe other political parties would say they have dealt with ANC, the reality is that our people did not go out to vote. And it's a matter that I think it should concern all of us as politicians, because voting, it's a right that was given to all of us. And if people decide to sit at home and not being able to exercise that particular right, it is a call for concern. But with that as it may, I think it's something that all of us as political parties we need to work on. Let me wish all of you a very well Merry Christmas and prosperous 2022. We need to meet again next year in one piece. We need to take care of ourselves. COVID-19 is there. The Omicron now actually is there. So let us take care of ourselves. We are wishing all the markers well. We know that they are going to mark the papers of our kids, and we are expecting good results amidst the problems, amidst the challenges that the department has went through. But we believe that we are going to produce good results when the minister is going to be announcing them next year, January. I think we have come to an end of our meetings. This particular meeting, we are going now to release the department so that we can be able to proceed with the with what we need to do. All the best. It is your busy time now. Actually, when we are all going to holidays, then you start to be busy. You must make sure that papers are marked. You must make sure that you deliver good results. But please handle all that with care, caution, and take care of yourselves. Honorable Adwons, your hand is up.
Well, thank you, Chair. I did not want to spoil, your good remarks, but I thought Honorable Mogasetla will do us the honors and wish the DM very well on the new milestone. We all envisage and hope that we reach such age in our lives. So I thank you, Honorable Mogasetla, will do the honors on our behalf. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Mogasetla?
Can you sing? Can you talk? Can you?
He lives in Limpopo. I think Honorable Ngcobo qualifies to wish the M a 60 years birthday, but he looks nice.
Honorable Morotseta can't see.
None of that I know.
Let them do whatever. Let them do whatever. Sing or speak. Whatever. Pray. Whatever. He must do whatever.
Chair.
Yes.
I thought before they sing or do whatever, they must vote that there's an appeal on the or an objection that has been submitted to the court and Home Affairs for verification of the DM. It's not true that as they sing, they must sing well. They must not be part of litigation that we have submitted.
So they must be conscious of saying the age.
Yes, they must be far away from that.
Okay. Madam Rosetta, are you here?
No, Chairperson.
Oh, Babu Ngcobo? Yes. Can we allow you to wish the DM a well 60th birthday? You are there, Mo. You are there. You must tell her how is it like to be there.
Yeah, Deputy Minister, the Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. And thanks to Honorable Adwans. Deputy Minister, we must say we feel very humbled to have a person like yourself. I remember you arriving for the first time, also coming from Mpumalanga province, but we are proud of everything you have done. Now that we're talking something personal, it doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from us. To those who are Christians, it comes from God. To me, I usually feel like saying, you know, one has got to count his or her blessings and name them one by one. I stress the name them one by one part. Because yes. if you simply say, thanks God, if you are a Christian, just
I
a
believer.
Yes.
I am a
If you simply say, thank you for everything you have done for me, and I am God, you are robbing me. Because it's like you don't mind how many they are, you have forgotten some, but if you name them one by one and say, you did this for me, God, you did this one, and counting them, that is great. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I don't want to drag your meeting very long. I just wanted to say we are still proud of you, and we still need you very much. In the department, and we will always be benefiting, and you will actually be enjoying your life more as you grow older than this. It's me who says so. I am far beyond 60. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ndobo. That's why I wanted to come from the wise. Because they have gone the journey, they know that entering another decade of 70s is not a child's play. So, colleagues, thank you very much from the Portfolio Committee. And for...
I see support. There is a hand. Yeah, just hold the pencil. Mark on about your hand.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Well, also on behalf of the Democratic Alliance, a blessed birthday. To the DM and Chairperson, to you, our committee members, our staff, Llewellyn and team, and to the department. I think it's been a very tough year for many of us and for education. Although matric exams went well, I think the last, since COVID hit us especially, it's been a very tough year on the ground and in education in particular, because we consider it as one of the most important portfolios in our country. So to everybody, a festive season of happiness and be safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin Levold. DM, we can hand over back to you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again from Honorable van der Walt. It's so true. Honorable Ngobo is correct to say you count one by one. When I tell people that when I was born, they never thought that I was going to live. That's why I don't have pictures of a baby. They said this baby is going to die. But God, knowing that He has a purpose for this baby, that's why here am I today. I'm 60 years old, Honorable Teboho. I'm 60 years old. My mother did go to school. She wrote it down. Even that original paper that was written on the 1st of December 1961 is still there on the day I was born. It was on a Friday. Then I want to thank the members of the Portfolio Committee. Really, sometimes your harshness brings light to us. When we think you are harsh to us, but when we go back and look at the things that you raise, we realize that, hey, it's true. What you have observed without us having seen them before is true, and we are able together to shape the sector and the system to the betterment of our people. You go back, let's go and reflect. Let's come back with new energy, new zeal, new enthusiasm, and help the children of South Africa. Thank you very much, Chief.
Okay. No, thanks very much. Thank you very much, DM. And like we have said, thanks to everybody. And we are now releasing the department.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dr. Spears.
Thank you, Chair, members.